It's time to set aside the superficial. It's time to go deeper. It's time to engage in truth. Here's John Bornsheim.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Engage in Truth. I am so excited that you are tuning in today, and Merry Christmas to you. What an exciting time. I know you're probably busily preparing for everything that is before you. You know, it's one of those joyous times of celebration, though. I hope you don't get overwhelmed in all of the details and everything that is going on, but rather that we can celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ our Lord today. This is an exciting time for me. I have five children. One of my children recently married, so now we have six children, and they're all coming over, and we are about to celebrate Christmas together, and going to have a house full of folks. I mean, you know, the in-laws and neighbors and friends, and it's going to be crazy hecticness, and I love it. And I hope you do as well, that we just seize these moments to be with family and friends, not to get caught up in all the busyness of it, but rather to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, to celebrate His birth date. I mean, this was the greatest gift that was ever given to us, and often it gets lost in all of the noise, doesn't it? I mean, we are just caught up in the decorations and wrapping presents last minute, that thing we forgot to go out and buy for that special somebody, and all of this busy pace seems to just drown out what is truly important today. So let's just focus a little bit on Jesus Christ today, shall we? I'm excited. I hope you are as well in the few minutes that we have together. Now, let me just start off with this. I know that there are some holiday favorites, movies that you may be watching right now. One of our favorites is the Charlie Brown Christmas Special. Now, that first aired in 1965, and we love it. It's one of our favorites. And, you know, with all the stuff going on out there, this is one of those holiday classics that just bring you back to the true meaning of Christmas. And it's actually quite a fascinating history that's behind this classic TV special, because it was a low-budget animation. Coca-Cola, they were wanting to produce something for the holidays and to sponsor something for Christmas, and they met with Charles Schulz and were trying to come up with some ideas, and so Charles and his team put together this idea for this Christmas special in one day, and the Coca-Cola executives loved it. They just ate it right up and said, let's do it. Well, Schulz had some pretty unorthodox ideas. In fact, he wanted to add a jazz soundtrack with no laugh track to it. And he was adamant that the true Christmas story be presented, complete with the scene straight out of the Bible. Well, the TV producers, they were worried that this would be too controversial for national television to read from the Bible. But Schulz, he insisted. And the rest is history. And what we find in the story is that Charlie Brown, he's surrounded by all the trappings of Christmas, right? He finds that he's coming up empty. He's seeking out what is the true meaning of Christmas. And his friend Linus then sets him straight by reading right from the Bible. And here's what he reads. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. He says, "And there were in the same county shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now I hope, in the words of Charlie Brown, that you indeed find the true meaning of Christmas in that. This is the hope for the Christmas season, that Jesus Christ has come to give us redemption, to set us free, to give us life eternal. He was the greatest gift ever given to mankind, and that's what we celebrate right now. And so today I want to invite you to get back to the true meaning of Christmas. Now, I'm going to cover just a couple of the gifts that are dear to my heart, the gifts of Christmas that God Almighty has given to us. Number one, He's given us hope. And number two, he's given us love. And we're going to cover those here today. Now, before all of this, the fact that it's upon us, before the season has arrived, we've been in the season called the Advent. And the Advent means the coming or the arrival, in which we would long to see the face of Jesus, preparing, waiting for his coming. And so there are several aspects to this waiting. And in fact, one of the traditions that goes with the Advent season was the lighting of a candle and putting that on a wreath. In fact, you'd have 5 candles during this season that would symbolize each of the Sundays before Christmas, and they would light those. I don't know if you did that in your home. We have one such wreath, and we light candles as we prepare for the coming and the celebration of the coming of the Messiah at his birth date. And this is mentioned in Isaiah. In fact, Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And in fact, that's what we do. We're looking for the presence of God more than the presence that fill underneath our tree. So the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, the presence of Almighty God. And the Advent then celebrates the fact that God has come, and it's bigger than our greatest expectations or our deepest pains. And so number one, as I mentioned to you, the greatest gift then that God gave us through Jesus Christ, the gift to all mankind, was number one, hope. And what do I mean by hope? Well, let's just talk about that for a moment. We all use that word very loosely, hope. In fact, we'll say, I hope it doesn't rain. I hope I can get a job. I hope the world will be at peace. I hope he gets better or she gets better. I hope that person shows up. Perhaps I hope, well, you fill in the blank. We use that word to characterize something that may or may not happen. In fact, that word hope seems to characterize doubt, uncertainty, lack of control. But the hope we use in Christ Jesus is actually, I know so, rather than a maybe so. I know so rather than a maybe so. So let's unwrap that. First of all, we have hope past. Now, if you've studied a little bit about the history, you know that Israel was waiting for over 1,000 years for the coming Messiah. In fact, ever since the Torah had been written around 1440 BC, and then they go all the way back to the day of creation, how God's plan was unfolding. In fact, he would say that Christ would crush him and his heel would be bruised, that he would crush the head of Satan. This was a declaration of what was forward coming, that Jesus Christ would come and crush the sting of death. He would crush the rule of Satan over this present darkness, that Jesus Christ would establish his reign and redeem mankind. So they were looking forward to this, and many prophecies pointed, over 365, in fact, were pointing to Jesus Christ our Lord. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And then Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So these, among many others, all pointed to this hope that the Messiah was going to come, and he was going to free these men and women from all of their tribulations. He was going to establish a kingdom, and they were actually looking forward to him to even overthrow their oppressors and establish his reign right then and there. What they didn't realize is he was coming to free us from our sins. And then we're looking forward yet again to his coming once more. We'll get into that here in just a moment. So as we look back on hope past, we have to gain confidence and renew our faith in God's promises to us. In fact, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is confidence of what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." These Israelites had to do that. They had to constantly look forward that he is going to come. The prophecies will come true. And then we can look once more now to hope present. In the first chapter of Luke, we see Jesus' birth foretold again, but unlike the Old Testament prophecies, this is a much more personal and imminent foretelling. Here's how it goes. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38 reads, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, and you will be called, and he will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May your word to me be fulfilled.' Then the angel left her." What a powerful story. Can you just imagine how it felt to be Mary in that circumstance? See, in the midst of life's questions, do you ever find yourself wishing that Gabriel would just show up and let you know what to expect? I mean, wouldn't it be easier just to know how things are going to play out, especially with your children? I could say, well, maybe. In Mary's case, perhaps it would have been easier not to know. I mean, what do you do with information like that? Mary was given a direct message from the angel Gabriel, but even then it took faith. I mean, to place her trust, her hope fully in God, Mary responded in faith, and she held fast to the hope of this promise of Emmanuel, that God is with us, probably thinking about all these prophecies that she had heard, and maybe in self-doubt a little bit, but, you know, she never really says that. It's full-fledged confidence and hope in God that he has chosen her, that he will fulfill his promises in and through her life. And Jesus has come. He's made a way for us to be with God the Father. So as you listen today, you have to look at this present hope and hold on to what may not seem to be changing circumstances in your life. I mean, your heart, your mind may be flooded with the concerns and stresses and the hardships that you face, and any signs of that change in your circumstance may seem slim. But the reality is God is working, just like he promised Mary. These things will come to pass. They will be fulfilled as God has promised. It doesn't mean that God isn't working behind the scenes. I mean, that's what we got to see, is that sometimes it doesn't look like change is happening right before our faces, in front of our eyes, that as we look upon the situation. But God is working, and he's working all things according to the goodwill and purpose of those who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean that he isn't working inside our hearts either to teach and shape us. And so regardless of whatever those outward appearances look like, whatever the situation looks like, we've got to find hope, just like Mary did. How do I believe this amazing thing that's come upon me, or what I've been told? She had to have total faith in Almighty God. And Hebrews 6:19 tells us that, "For we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure," that what God says he will do, he is going to do it. Our present hope in Jesus may not stop the storms in our lives. I mean, that's the reality of a situation. It may not stop those storms, but we do know Jesus can and will hear our prayers. He will intervene at the appropriate time and bring things all together according to his purposes. Ephesians tells us that. And he may not change the immediate situations we face, but like an anchor that holds a ship steady against the wind and the waves, our hope holds us firm and secure in the midst of life's storms. And that's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So number three, our hope future. He gives us a hope for the future. So while our focus is right now on this Christmas moment, as we're preparing to be with family and all the busyness, but we still have to look forward to the time when all things will be restored and made new. We have to experience some of the things that we go through today, the sufferings, the struggles, because while it may be easy to focus in on the moment, which may bring some temporary relief, maybe some extra stresses for you, we always have to point to that future hope that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back to establish his throne, just as they eagerly longed for and hoped for Jesus' coming. We also now look forward to his return. Paul explained this in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 to 25, that for in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And so we have to be patient. That whatever circumstances you're going through, see, I don't want to be naive to the fact that those of you listening right now, some of you may have wonderful plans today and you're surrounded by loved ones. And then there are those of you who are listening right now who are going through a real hard time. And so it may be very difficult for you to see the hope in the midst of your circumstances. But the reality is we have a hope still that Jesus Christ is coming back, not a hope of doubt, but a hope of assurance. We know for a fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. In fact, Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And then he gives us this. He gives us the gift of love. And that's hard, especially right now, this time of year, that, again, some of you may be surrounded by the cuddles and the affections and the joys of someone who can give you love and you can love back. But we do know that the true love, the love that is found in and through Jesus Christ, that's truly what gives us comfort and assurance of hope. As we go back to Matthew chapter 22, we can look that we are first and foremost to love Almighty God, and then we can love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, let me just give you a little bit of a quiz here. You have probably been hearing Christmas songs all month long, especially if you're listening to our sister station over there, Q102. You've probably heard a lot of Christmas music going on. Let me give you just a little pop quiz here as we get into the subject of love. And bear with me. I'm not going to sing it to you. I'm just going to tell you some lyrics, and I want to see if you catch on to these. It's kind of that name that Christmas song. Are you ready for this? Here you go. How about this one? "We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be." You know the song? Yeah, it's Sleigh Ride, right? Okay, well, let's keep going with this. There's a few others here. "When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm." You know that tune? "Let It Snow." That's right. How about "Decorations of Red on a Green Christmas Tree Won't Be the Same, Dear, If You're Not Here with Me"? Blue Christmas. Okay, here's another one. "Please Have Snow and Mistletoe and Presents Under the Tree." That's from "I'll Be Home for Christmas." Okay, you'll catch this one. "The mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop." Well, that's "Rocking Around the Christmas Tree." Here's another. "In the meadow, we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, 'Are you married?' We'll say, 'No, man, but you can do the job when you're in town.'" Oh, yes, that's Winter Wonderland. Okay, so here's a real easy one for you. The lyrics I'm about to read to you is actually the title of the song, okay? You can't get this one wrong. "All I Want for Christmas is You." That's right. Yes, the song is "All I Want for Christmas is You." You can't get that one wrong. So did you notice a theme here? All of these song lyrics that I've just stated to you, they all talk about love. And it seems like, well, wait a minute, doesn't Valentine's Day, isn't that supposed to be the time of love, the holiday of love? Well, it's pretty clear that Christmas holds a corner on the market as a season of love and romance. In fact, according to the 2014 American Wedding Study that was conducted by Brides Magazines, well, the researchers found that 19% of all engagements occur right now in December. And in fact, statistics show that Christmas Eve is the most popular day for engagements. Well, sorry, Cupid. More people get engaged on Christmas Eve than on Valentine's Day. In fact, data shows that Christmas Eve is the most popular day to get engaged, followed by Christmas Day, then New Year's Day, and then Valentine's Day. And there is certainly nothing wrong with celebrating love during this season. In fact, if you're getting engaged right now, hey, we celebrate it with you. Congratulations. But with all this love in the air and happiness and expectation, It can also lead for some to loneliness and isolation. And in fact, some of you may be listening right now where you're feeling the exact opposite. You may be feeling isolated, alone, and saddened. And here we are at such a time that's supposed to be joy and filled with love, and yet you're struggling. So let's talk about where the real love comes from. I mean, this is a love story after all. As we talk about Jesus Christ, our Lord, this is the story of true, faithful, unending, sacrificial love, that God's love is sending Jesus is the one love that will change everything. I mean, love has been God's story from the beginning, just like I mentioned earlier. From the creation story all the way through, God is a God of love. Matthew 22 reminds us that. He is a God of love, and he desires to be loved. God loved Adam and Eve in the garden before they sinned and after. He still showed mercy, compassion, kindness, and love to his children, though they had just done something that was going to forever change the world. He showed love to Noah and his family when the flood was coming upon them. Even through all of his commandments, he demonstrated love, as hard as they were to probably hear. I mean, all 613 ordinances of the Torah and the Levitical laws seem very harsh, but actually it's filled with great love because God wanted relationship with his people. In fact, his most treasured of the sacrifices weren't ones that involved blood, but rather the grain offering, because it wasn't an offering that was given out of obligation because of sin, but rather a desire of the people giving the offering to have relationship and fellowship with Almighty God. He says that, "Your sacrifices I do not desire, but hearts that are sold out for him, hearts that desire his presence." And so the whole story of the Bible is about a God who first loved us. He took love that is beyond description and overturned the power of death and evil with this pure love for us. So God's story is love in action. It's how the God of the universe loves us so much that he sent his only son, who left everything in order to be with us, to sacrifice his life so that we could be with him forever. This love is the second gift of Christmas that I want to talk to you about here in just the final moments that we have together. I mean, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is truly his love for us? You know, and the worst thing in the world is when you give a Christmas gift to a child that requires assembly from an adult or doesn't come with batteries. Have you ever noticed that? When we unwrap the Christmas presents, if you haven't put some thought to it, and maybe you're thinking, uh-oh, right now as I talk about this, that you've wrapped a present that didn't come with the batteries and requires some setup, the kids just want to dive right into it. I know I'm like a kid at heart. I just want to dive into it, and I want to play with my toy right away. Well, you know, some of that's about the application that we have with the love from God, that we have to accept his love. And we receive it fully, no assembly required, no delay, no batteries needed. We accept his love freely. Let's read the verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." What a gift that God has given to us, that Jesus' love changes everything. But this was, it is the ultimate gift. No gift that you could give could top this. It's the pure act of sacrificial, holy, complete, and infinite love. What a love story. But first, we got to accept it. We've got to accept this gift of love that God gives us. And maybe you feel unlovable right now. Maybe you've been burned by some broken human affection or so-called love. Maybe somebody has let you down and you're thinking, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the dark secrets that I have or the doubts and fears and pains inside. Maybe I don't, but God does. And the love he offers and he knows and he delivers to us, this true, pure love, it's an amazing gift of love that heals wounds. It binds us up. It tends to our wounds, our scars. It heals us from the inside out. So no matter what challenges or hurts that you hold, God's love can handle them and heal them. And wherever you are on your journey, it's okay. God knows. He understands. And his response are these arms that are wide open that he sends his only son into the world because of his pure love for you. So wherever you are, I encourage you right now, accept this gift of love. And number two, we've got to experience His love. Now, I'm one of those crazies who love so deeply, so much that I probably would have done a Jumbotron for my wife. You know, in fact, when we were in New York City in Times Square, I actually had looked into it in advance of trying to get one of those billboards to tell my wife how much I loved her. And God, He invites us to experience love that is unbounded. I mean, it's an amazing kind of love, and He wants us to share this kind of love with others. Let me just read to you this verse. It's so powerful. Romans 8, 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What kind of love is that? And so He wants us then to, number three, share that love. And I'm one of those crazy guys, like I said. I want to tell my wife all the time how much I love her. And this is why we have so many songs and poetry and all of this about sharing love, because He wants us to go and share our love with others, the love He gives us with others. So as we've received this gift of Jesus Christ today, we need to go out and share that love with as many as we can. 1 John 4, 9-11 says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's make this truly a season of love, because Jesus Christ loves you so much. He came into the world, endured hardships, burden, even unto death for us, that we might be together for all eternity. What a love story. Merry Christmas to you. I hope you have a blessed Merry Christmas with your family, wherever you are, in whatever situation you're in. Merry Christmas to you. God loves you. I hope to see you on Sunday. We are celebrating the Lord's resurrection. Services are at 10 a.m. You can learn more about our services at calvaryfountain.com. Again, it's calvaryfountain.com. God bless you.